south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Now, you know, I just got finished with my latest expat wisdom seminar, and guess what? Amongst other things, everybody was talking about gold and silver. And if you don't think gold is going to be important in the coming years when the next blowout comes, listen to this. One of the guys at my recent seminar happens to have been in the oil business for something like 30 years. And he's mostly been a contract, setup, and management person responsible for the infrastructure needed before crews come in to do pipelines and refineries and oil rigs, etc. And he's almost exclusively been based in third and fourth world countries like the Middle East and Africa. And in fact, for the last 8 years or so, he's been doing infrastructure pipeline stuff in Africa. I mean, now here's a guy that's really been around. The kind of guy the average man in Cleveland would probably never run into in his whole life. So he's worth listening to, believe me. So now listen to what he told us at the seminar about currencies and gold. When he gets a contract from a big oil company like Shell or Chevron, his part in it is to go down to the country and the location where the new setup's going to be and rent bungalows and arrange transportation and clean water and food and basic services for a group of skilled oil men who are going to come down and set up some kind of infrastructure project. So all the basic amenities have to be in place before these guys arrive, which is what our new seminar friend guy does. You could say he's the infrastructure project's advance man. Now, he says that things in his end of the oil business have been changing rapidly in the last year or so. Seems that lately he's been finding himself in direct competition head-to-head with the Chinese, who also are running around the world grabbing up mineral rights so they can drill and mine, etc. Now, at the seminar, he told me in the group a particular incident that's been repeating itself lately. He said he'll come into a place in Africa somewhere, for example, and he'll do the groundwork and make the deals with the local suppliers for the housing and the water and the transportation, etc., before his crew comes in. And when he sits down with the local movers and shakers, the guys he's supposed to sign the contracts with and pass the check to, when finalizing the deal, many times he says, after all that work's been done, when he gets there to hand over the check, suddenly he finds that the Chinese have beat him to it. He says they can be very sneaky and sometimes they'll slip in a day or two before he's supposed to finalize the deal, and they make the locals a deal they just can't refuse. How do they do that? Well, he says traditionally, as they sit down and sign the contract, the oil company then cuts a check in good old U.S. green. However, the Chinese reps who walked in a day earlier dropped a bag of gold on the table. Not dollars, not euros, not yuan, but gold. So folks, know this, that's what's happening on the other side of the planet, where big deals are being struck day in and day out of which we have no knowledge, except for those occasional amazing little stories we hear from people who are right in the middle of that kind of action. So if that little bellwether doesn't disturb you a bit, then I guess it's time to flick on the tube. Oh, I guess it's not a tube anymore, is it? Anyway, grab the remote and a big bag of Cheetos and settle in for a nice night of The Walking Dead or Breaking Bad or The Big Butt Theory, otherwise known as The Kardashians. So, the warning shot here should be clear by now. Get some of your money into gold or silver and get it the hell out of the country, because you and I know that the U.S. government is broke and bankrupt, which means whatever kind of spin they put on it, there's desperation and panic within the corrupt halls of the U.S. executive branch. Which means you and your money, whatever you got in the bank up in the first world, etc., and your IRAs and retirement plans are at risk. So when you hear that news that Obama is officially switching your IRAs to T-bills and treasury notes, and of course the government will tell you it has to be done for your own good and safety in such a volatile market. And of course, when that happens, 98% of the population of the U.S. will drink that Kool-Aid. They'll have to. And if you think what I'm proposing here is fantasy, just remember, 8 countries have done that already. Look it up. 8 sovereign countries have already rolled their citizens' private retirement funds into government securities. By edict, by law, whatever you want to call it, When that happens and you don't have some of your assets outside the country, you'll be stuck with that eventuality too. The question is, are you okay with that? Now, sure, you know, short term we might have deflation, and that's certainly evident with the huge drop in oil prices, but you know, how long you really think that's going to last? That said, if you don't get at least some of your assets out of the country, very shortly, you're going to be a very sorry out-of-luck sucker. So you can continue to drink the Kool-Aid, which 99% of people do when faced with a huge economic blowout, and their government, who caused the blowout in the first place, comes in and says, just hold on a bit, we'll save you. Meanwhile, jacking up plans to bleed you even more. Or you can be one of the smart, safe 1% who has some of their assets already out of the country when that happens. Now, on that note, let me read another email from someone who's very savvy about gold, metals, and moving them around. Oh yeah, and as usual, I'll paraphrase this a little bit to cut out the boring parts, so as to avoid any snoozers out there. Here goes. Dear Johnny, in these days of global uncertainty, gold is absolutely the way to go for portable, densely packed wealth. For example, you can hold 50 one-ounce maple leaves or cougarans in your hand in a small makeshift 1.5-inch wide PVC pipe tube, like the ones they use in plumbing, which is only about as big as 2 shot glasses taped end-to-end, and just as wide. So picture how really small and compact that is. And you know what? That little stack is worth about $60,000 or more. And like you always say, Johnny, with that kind of transportable wealth, you could go down to Latin America and live a regular first world life, if you're single, that is, for at least 5 or 6 years. Talk about an economic life raft. Imagine all that wealth in the space of 2 shot glasses stacked upon each other. Now, once you've put your gold in a plastic tube like that, you can hold it in your hand or keep it in your pants pockets, and when it's going through airport metal detectors and such, or borders, I just hold it right out and say that it's part of my recently deceased dad's coin collection. Now, of course, you can play it extra safe, like you mentioned in one of your past shows, by just saying you're a coin collector going to a coin show in whatever Latin country you end up in or are heading to. And make sure that you bring some kind of proof, like a paper backup copy of a coin show convention that you picked off from a real coin show event advertised on the internet, or a real ad picked out of an online Latin newspaper on the internet. Because, you know, coin shows like that happen in every big city, every weekend, in every country. I know that because, well, I've been to a few of those and I'm a coin collector. But, you know, a lot of people aren't very good fibbers, and you don't want to look like you're trying to pull something off when you're going through a border. So, if you want to skip all that, just make it simple and say, it's part of your recently deceased, fill-in-the-blank, family member's coin collection. So, I'm always ready to use that line. That's why I only have real country-issued gold coins like Canadian maple leaves, South African cougarans, American eagles, Austrian philharmonic coins, and Chinese pandas. Now note, those country-issued coins all have dates and nominal values stamped on them. That way, they're actually legal currency and not bullion, which border officials, especially in the U.S., might try to tax or take, even if you fill out the proper currency forms. And even though Canadian maple leaves, for example, only have $50 stamped on them, which is very much in your favor if you get in an argument with the customs guys, which I never have yet, and I've brought coins through at least a dozen times. So at least for now, if you do things that way, you'll be in like Flynn. However, who knows how long that's going to last, so you better act soon. And by the way, Johnny, you're right. You never want to let a bank or a safety deposit company hold your stuff. You always want to take possession. Okay, I'll stop this email for a second. It's me now. I do have something very important to say on that point. For all you guys who get Doug Casey's information, you'll notice that once in a while, you get an email from a company that's affiliated with him called Hard Asset Alliance. And they're a gold storage company, etc., that will also allow you to buy, sell, and move your gold for you. And here's my take on that. I always approve of everything that Doug Casey sells. That is, as far as being on the up and up and being legitimate. Now, I'm not talking about his stock picks or anything like that. I'm talking about things like this Hard Assets Alliance thing. Now, for those of you who always ask me, where should you buy your gold? Well, the big kicker is not where to buy your gold, because you can buy it at any neighborhood corner pawn shop or coin dealer. That is, of course, if you're living up in the States. And you could buy it from a number of places on the internet, too. However, the owner of that business is going to report that transaction to the IRS. Whether you know it or not, it's a Big Brother requirement now. What a bunch of nosy asswipes, huh? But only certain gold and silver items are reportable. Did you know that? Some of them are legally non-reportable. And if you guys and gals out there want to know all about that, just send me an email and I'll send you a special report on that. So obviously, if you want to stay anonymous, you buy the type of gold and silver products that are not reportable, right? Duh. But back to that company called Hard Asset Alliance. Now, what I really like about that outfit is that you can buy gold from them and they'll ship it anywhere in the world, totally insured, at 100% value. So, though I'm adamantly opposed to anyone holding your gold in some kind of bonded warehouse somewhere in the world, and believe me, that's their main service, to get you to buy gold and store it at one of their facilities, then they get a monthly rate, or whatever. Well, just know, I trust that company completely in the buying and shipping of gold, but I wouldn't trust anyone storing it for me in the long term. So, by all means, if you want to get your gold or silver out of the country without walking it through borders yourself or taking a chance on some other company shipping it, this is by far one of your best options. In fact, I know people who've used this service and it works 100% as advertised. And note, I don't get a dime for promoting this service and I'm not actually promoting it. I'm just saying it works and it's reliable. And I really think if I lived in the States and I was the timid sort and didn't feel good about walking my gold through foreign borders, I'd use that service myself. And if you haven't noticed by now, I am the timid sort. So then you might ask, well, if you haven't moved down to Latin America or you haven't got a piece of property down there where you can bury your gold in a tube, what about buying gold through a company like that and having them store it somewhere outside the country for you? Well, I think maybe in the short term, let's say for a year or two, that would be a very good idea. You just buy your gold through a company like that, have them store it outside the country with the idea in mind that you're going to move down to Latin America or wherever outside the U.S., then by all means, have your gold shipped from that storage place to your new residence. But better yet, have that storage company ship your gold to your lawyer's office. Remember, he's your key partner in all this, so then you're breaking the chain and you can be anonymous because once it's there, then you pick it up and take it anywhere and do anything you want with it. But then, of course, that means you have to have a lot of trust in your lawyer, right? Well, in case you haven't heard, that's what my Latin American seminars are all about. Introducing you personally to people like that. People that are absolutely trustworthy. That said, maybe I will have another seminar someday and you'll be able to take advantage of that. But I repeat, I don't make a dime if you utilize that company I just mentioned. Anyway, I don't believe they'd give me a dime if they found out that I tell you not to use their storage facility. And it's not just them. I don't think you should use anyone's. Especially not a safety deposit at a bank. Oh, and by the way, if you want to store your gold or silver at your house, I think one of the best things you could do is put in a little safe hidden in a closet somewhere or cemented into the basement floor and don't put anything of value in it. Oh, maybe you can load it up with Mexican pesos or Costa Rican colones. They always look nice and they are in large denominations, though not worth much more than the paper they're printed on, which is surely what the dollar is going to look like pretty soon, but I digress as usual. Anyway, that little safe or lockup will be your decoy. And instead, you put your gold or silver in a standard PVC plastic pipe tube, bury it in your backyard somewhere, or bury it in the kibble in the dog food bin. Or you could try expat Eddie's favorite place. He says, and he swears by this, you should wedge it under the mat in the cage of your 125-pound Rottweiler. Because like expat Eddie says, even if a crook knows it's in there, he ain't gonna go for it. Oh, and by the way, if you do that, make sure that you have a way to fasten that tube down to the cage because, like Eddie says, if it gets loose, your dog just might take it out in the backyard and bury it like a bone, and then your gold will be in a safe place, a very, very safe place, because you won't be able to find it either. So the trick is to actually have a safe or a strong box around the house. That's the obvious place for criminals like regular crooks and your government to focus on, right? Oh, and if you don't believe me, a family member of mine who's a law enforcement officer in Chicago told me that Police departments in big cities like Chicago routinely get the purchasing records of people and businesses who buy safes. So, if you've bought a safe in the last few years in the States, your government knows about it too. I assume you're all right with that, correct? Reason 3,426 why you have to get the hell out. So anyway, now that you've got your gold packed in a little PVC tube, there are other options like the Rottweiler cage, but normally people bury it in the backyard. And for those of you who've brought up the point that someday when the government does want to come after all your stuff, including your gold, they'll come out with metal detectors and try to find it. Well, first of all, that's only going to happen if you open your mouth and people know you've got gold, or if you buy it from one of those pawn shops or gold coin dealers and they've reported it to the government and now the government has you on a list. How do you handle that situation if they actually come for your gold? Well, that probably won't happen for a few years anyway, and you should have gotten it out of the country by then. Bury it deep, like at least 3 foot underground, and don't bury it lengthwise. Bury it end to end. Make sure the tube is perpendicular to the ground surface, so the top of the tube is facing up, providing the smallest surface area. With that small profile, someone would have to have some very expensive equipment to locate it. And not just your standard beachcomber metal detector, that's for sure. So then you might ask, what about gold in Latin America? Buying and selling, etc. Well, every medium to large Latin city has coin shops, because there are small contingents of coin collectors even in Latin America. Note that coin collectors here generally do not collect U.S. coins. They collect versions of Latin coins. Because in the old days, just like in the U.S., before governments figured out they could turn on the printing presses and debase the monetary system, Latin countries also had gold and silver in their coins, which makes for a ready coin collecting market. Do know this, it's not like in the US where there's a pawn shop or a coin dealer in every middle class and lower middle class neighborhood. In fact, down here they really don't have pawn shops as we know them. Now, in Latin America, as I've mentioned so many times before, no matter who you talk to, a guy on the street, a shoeshine boy, even a PhD in economics, they have absolutely no clue about the coming great economic storm. And there is one coming, whether you want to face the facts or not. And about gold, well, no one down here in Latin America holds gold for investments or safety purposes. They only pile it on their necks and their hands to prove how important they are, and 99% don't even know that most likely what they're wearing is fake and not even worth melting down. In fact, at parties, I've sat across from dozens of Latins displaying their bling, and after tossing out a few complimentary lies about their great taste in jewelry, I will sometimes, for my own entertainment purposes, ask them what percentage of that bling is gold, and almost all of them say, why, it's solid gold, don't you know? 100%. Which would be 24 karat, right? Now, you probably know this, but jewelry is never made of 100% or 24 karat gold. It's just too damn soft, and you'd be able to bend and mutilate it with your fingernail or your bare hands. So just know, if you quiz anybody up north about their jewelry, and they say it's 100% gold or 24 karat, they're either lying, totally uninformed, or just ignorant. Now, funny enough, I can't tell you how many Latins I've spoken to down here who've said to me, I wouldn't wear anything but pure gold. Well, guess what? No one wears pure gold, and that answer in itself says how undereducated they are about the stuff. But where was I? Oh yeah, back to that email. Now, our emailer says, Johnny, I'm thinking that Latins likely have that same backward mentality I've seen firsthand in places like Thailand, where there's a gold shop in every town with more than two stoplights. But where do you keep this stuff when you're down there? Sure, if you got a quarter ounce coin, you can sew it into your hat or something. But what do you do with 51 ounce coins? If you can't trust safety deposits in the States, it's absolutely a folly to consider doing it in the third world. Private depositories don't inspire much confidence either. You know that. I guess, as you've mentioned before, midnight gardening in your own backyard is probably the best answer. And then, what about silver? I've heard you can buy silver direct from the mines in Ecuador, at least, and I guess maybe gold as well. Let me stop that email for a second and confirm that. Yes, you can buy silver all over the place down here. In fact, some cities, like Taxco, Mexico, specialize it, and there's silver on every street corner. But you better know what you're doing before you buy and have an analysis kit with you, because even if it's stamped .999, you just can't trust it. So anyway, the email continues, I know gold and silver confiscation just might come up in the United States, but I'm sure it'll never happen in Latin America. They might try to adopt first world draconian laws like that, but they're so short on cash and enforcement, it's just never going to happen. I know that. Anyway, I know you'd be doing a show on gold and this general topic in the near future, and I just wanted to add a few additional issues that might be relevant for your consideration. And naturally, it's signed anonymous. You know, that's exactly how you should play this gold and silver card when you're buying and storing and burying this stuff. Be anonymous. That's rule number one. Now, when our emailer mentioned lack of government enforcement of laws down here in Latin America, man, he wasn't kidding. And to just give a little more credence to that concept, all you have to do is open up any of the big daily Latin newspapers and read articles like this. This one comes from today's Prensa Libre, which is Guatemala's largest newspaper. It says right here on the front page that the president has declared the year 2015 to be the year of no violence. What an idiot, huh? But because he is a politician, which makes him a lying sack of corruptible feces, turns out in the very first month, in the year of no violence as he proclaimed it, there were 488 homicides. Higher than last year's January number of 484. So then, why am I bringing this up? Well, because it says right here in an interview on the second page with the Minister of Gobernación, that would be the principal government spokesperson, he says that the reason for the increase in violence and homicides this year is because the police have no gasoline. And he adds with great statistical brilliance, that means without gasoline, our police cars cannot patrol the neighborhoods. And you know, I've mentioned this before, but down here in Latin America, except in the petroleum-producing countries like Venezuela and Mexico, on average, each police car receives 2 gallons of gasoline a day. Now, note that most cop patrol cars are actually Toyota Hilux pickups. That seems to be the standard model down here for police departments donated by clueless do-gooder first world countries like the U.S., Singapore, and Hong Kong. Now, the Toyota people themselves will tell you a pickup like that could run continuously in a city for about an hour on 1 gallon of gas. So, the best guess is 1 gallon an hour, which means, of course, that cop cars down in Latin America can operate for about 2 hours a day. And with that, we're not even figuring some cops will routinely siphon a bit of gas out and clandestinely sell it to their friends and family or maybe use it themselves in another vehicle they might have at home, usually a motorcycle. So anyway, that little story just reinforces the fact that governments in Latin America can never really hope to enforce new laws that they adopt when they are so spectacularly bad at enforcing the existing ones. Now, at first glance, you guys sitting up in Cleveland might be thinking, oh God, that's terrible. Why would you ever want to move to a country where laws are minimally or spottily enforced? Well, I can tell you this. Most expats, when they first get down here, have that same attitude until they've been down here for a while. And in the end, they really start believing that it's a good thing. Because you see, down here in Latin America, where governments feel everything that comes out of the first world is golden, political scumbags down here have such an inferiority complex about not being first world that they are noted for rubber stamping and passing all kinds of first world legislation just for the media coverage and the photo ops, even though they know good and well they have no infrastructure, money, or manpower to enforce, which is a very good thing to most of us long-term expats anyway. So we say, let them pass all those idiotic, stupid-ass first world laws they want, because us long-term expats anyway know that it really will be business as usual, and we still, when all is said and done, have 1,000% more freedom than you guys in Boston and in Cleveland will ever have. So when people ask me about Big Brother down here, I say, nope, I don't have one. I'm the oldest boy in my family. To which they usually answer, no, I mean Big Brother, you know, Big Brother. To which I say, sorry, that concept doesn't exist in the Spanish language. Oh, and by the way, before you guys freak out at the thought of 488 murders in Guatemala in January, it does help if you can read Spanish, because, of course, these papers are always in Spanish. As it turns out, because this is a big article, they list the places in Guatemala, the zones and departments and cities, etc., where 98% of all these murders took place. And as it turns out, like it always does down here in Latin America, these are murders that take place in the worst, most decrepit, foulest, dirtiest, most crowded neighborhoods in the poorest, most neglected areas of the big cities. Places I recommend no gringos ever step foot in. I never go in those places. Oh, they're okay to drive through, that's not a problem. Doors locked, windows up, of course. So what you've got is extensive crime in the lowest class, poorest segments of society, naturally. That's where all these murders take place. That's why when you go to any Latin American country or any Latin American big city, the first thing you do is you get yourself a map and you have a taxi driver or someone at the airport information desk or even a Hertz or an Avis guy, have them mark on your map the safe and unsafe areas of the city. Now, you'd be surprised how many clueless gringos and expats come down and never do that. I mean, it would be as if a non-English speaker was dropped off in the center of Chicago or the center of New York or Atlanta or Detroit and without any prior warning was told to just start walking. I mean, come on. How long do you think that guy or gal would last before he or she got mugged? Or worse. And you know what? My expat wisdom seminars, we walk and we drive maybe 200 miles total. And my attendees will tell you that, yes, they see some areas that are pretty nasty, but we always end up hanging out in some of the many rather nice middle and upper middle class areas. And you know, in any medium or large Latin American city, about a third of that area is completely safe to walk around it. In fact, most people are duly surprised at how much it reminds them of middle class America, except, of course, everything's in Spanish. If you choose not to believe that because, well, you've never been down here and to see it for yourself, you know what I say? Good, because I'd really hate to see Latin America crowded with ugly Americans. It's already happened in Mexico, Panama, Costa Rica, parts of Ecuador and Uruguay, and now it's happening in a big way in Nicaragua. Since retirement rags and companies like International Living are touting Nicaragua now as the next Costa Rica. Well, believe me, I'm talking from a lot of experience here, more than 20 years. If you're one of those people who's looking to get in on the ground floor of the next Costa Rica, you better just click off this show and switch to the International Living website because obviously you'll never be happy unless you're living in and around a bunch of gringos who are clueless enough to believe that the people in the country they're piling into look at them as anything more than a big fat dollar sign.
South of the border.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture. He knows.